I'm gonna take a sip of my tea. Because we're teetotalers now. Mmm. Minty.
You're drinking mint tea.
Mm-hmm.
That's different.
Well, I don't want to get all amped up on matcha Lapsang. Or Lapsang Souchong.
Lapsang.
Lapsang
Souchong.
Lappy. That's what I call it. Lappy tea.
Mm-hmm. Delicious.
That's not what I call it at all. I just call it Lapsang.
Me too.
Yeah.
Unless I mispronounce it and then I say Lapsang.
Lapsang Souchong. Yeah, that's not racist at all.
I don't think so. It's just a mispronunciation.
Yeah, because, you know, that's not in our...
You think everything is racist.
Everything is racist.
if
Twitter's to be believed.
What was it I was talking about? Yeah, what did I see? Oh, I know what it was. That woman. There's this black woman. She's a doctor of something. And she has a book coming out. And she was on a morning show in Los Angeles.
Oh, right.
And she, I think it was the 60s,
She was a model.
Beauty queen. She was a model, and she was like Miss some state. I forget which state it was. It might have been Miss Alabama.
It was like Kansas or something.
Something like that. One of those racist states. I'm kidding. Anyway, so she's on this morning show, and they show a picture of her. So there's this white kid on the left, this very white, lily white girl in the center, and a young black woman on the right. So, of course, we all assume that the black one is the black guest on the morning show. And she's talking about her experience and this book she's written. And this co-host, this man, this white man, says, so which one's you? And I'm like, wait, did he just really say that? Like, what is wrong with him?
Well, the crazy part is he doubled down.
Well, he did. So she, like, I feel, purposely ignored him, thinking, okay, I'm just going to move past that and pretend I didn't hear it. Yeah. And he doubles down. He's like, no. So are you the one in the middle?
out of the three people.
Yeah, you're going to pick the white girl.
You're going to pick the white girl.
In the middle. Like, I'm like, what is he doing? Was he trying to show that he's colorblind? Because that's the first thing that came to mind is
colorblind,
like,
and doesn't see the black and white picture.
He's just a fucking idiot. I mean, it was so... To me, it was just awful.
To be fair, morning show hosts are not known for their staggering intellect.
Yeah, but it doesn't take intellect to tell the difference between black and white. You know what I mean? And especially in a black and white photograph. I mean, it was just stunning.
It does take deductive reasoning. I mean,
maybe. I don't know.
Maybe this guy is
a fucking idiot.
Just completely vapid.
Well, maybe really. Totally. Yeah, but I felt like he did it on purpose.
Right. It did feel kind of...
He was the way he did it, the way he said it. He was like, oh, I can't tell which one is black and which one's white. Are you the one in the middle?
It's like when Stephen Colbert is playing his character.
Totally.
On the Stephen Colbert show when that was a thing.
Right, right.
You know, he's like, well, I don't see
the
color.
The Republican. Yeah. Yeah, it felt like that. And maybe it wasn't, but I was appalled.
And to the point where you brought me in.
I'm like, Chad, you got
to
watch this.
From my office to
come
into
this.
Your office.
Wait for it. It's coming. Yeah, it was awful. It made me angry and it made me feel sick to my stomach.
Yeah, what the fuck, morning show host?
Like, dude, what?
Seriously, what if you listen to this podcast, just stop.
Fuck you. Oh, yeah, that too.
Well, that too. I think we're on the same page.
I think we are.
Speaking of pages.
I have pages in front of me. I've been writing notes.
Oh, damn.
So this morning we were talking about conditioned responses to music. And I don't remember why we started that conversation, but I'm just going to say this. Speaking of being a racist, whenever I hear Indian music or Indian sounding music, I instantly crave Indian food.
From the country of India.
Of India. Yeah. And whenever I hear Chinese sounding music, I instantly crave Kung Pao chicken. And it's like this conditioned response to music, which I think is fascinating. And now I remember why we start talking about it. So I was talking about how I was trying to meditate and I was listening to Tibetan music.
Right.
And you were in the living room, like, rocking out on your bass, and, like, the two were not helping my cause. And you made some comment about how Western people, the Western ear isn't able to listen to Tibetan music in the way it's intended?
No, no.
I don't know what your point was, actually.
My point was, generally, Eastern music, it doesn't function within the Western 12-tone scale, right?
Right.
The equal tempered scale. There's typically some notes in there, similar to when a blues guitarist is like bending in between notes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's called microtonal.
Okay.
So there's tones in between tones, or, and I don't know, the Western ear isn't as accustomed to that. They haven't grown up listening to that generally.
Okay.
Whereas, you know, it might put you on edge, potentially, you know, hearing notes that don't.
Sure.
Yeah, in intervals that you don't necessarily listen to on a regular basis,
mm-hmm,
I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always been interesting to me that that has been like the basis for white people meditating.
Right. How does that work?
How does that, I mean, do you have to, is it harder to get to the point of meditation to get used to that? Or, you know, as opposed to listening to just like some boring, smooth jazz shit.
Like Kenny G? Wow. See, now that would put me on edge and make me want to, like, you know, murder people. Not literally, but yeah.
Right.
Listening to Kenny G makes me angry. Listening to Enya makes me angry. Like, I get this.
Yeah, but Everything But the Girl?
Now, I love Everything But the Girl, that's, and I could totally meditate to that. Some of it.
And some Portishead that's not, like, totally overly dissonant.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it's still kind of that floaty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could almost meditate to it. And it seems like that's what the Western ear would be more accustomed to, is
right.
all I was getting at.
Okay, and I buy that. But interestingly enough, so when I started doing yoga in the early 2000s, in fact, there was a year where I did pretty much yoga every day, and I listened to Tibetan music. But I think it was Tibetan music. I mean, what I have currently is, and that's where I got it. And because in that space, in the yoga space, the studio, because I always heard it and I felt calm and peaceful and everything was quiet and people were happy. Like when I hear that music, I instantly feel peaceful.
Right.
And it's easier for me to go into a meditative state where my mind relaxes, my body relaxes, and it's almost a conditioned response that my breathing gets deeper.
You're like, oh, these...
And slows down.
These scales mean meditation, and therefore...
For me, it does.
Right.
Yeah, and it's like, I didn't know any better when I started taking yoga, but that's the kind of music we listen to, so I now associate that sound and those sounds with that experience, that yoga experience, which is that of being more connected, more grounded, slowing down.
Right. Now, I do wonder if the music that you're listening to is... like yoga music made by white people.
This one is not.
Okay.
Yeah, this one's actually made by a Tibetan monk.
Okay.
And you know what? Sometimes, so the thing when he starts chanting, and I can't understand what he's saying, and no, it's not Nam Myoho Kyekyo or whatever, No, but like, I don't understand what he's saying. And that I find not as relaxing because my brain doesn't understand what he's saying.
Really, you'd think it'd be the opposite. You think you don't understand what he's saying, so it just kind of rolls over you and
right, but
like you're not listening to lyrics.
It's the way he says it. Now, interestingly enough, that's true when I'm listening to Spanish music or Mexican music or even any Latin sounds. I can totally write and like get into the vibe and get into the groove of Latin music, and I don't understand what they're saying, so it doesn't distract my brain power. It's just background music.
Rest assured, there will be a corazón involved.
And there's always a corazón involved. But with Tibetan music, and when they start chanting, I think it's the quality of it that I... Mm,
is he doing throat singing?
Maybe.
Where they sing like at the back of their throat and it's all...
No, it's not like that. It's more like, it's more like kind of, I can't even do it. It's like creepy, heavy breathing that like...
Oh.
But with like a chant, it's like, and I'm like, what is he doing? Like that takes me out of my meditative state and makes me feel discomfort. But not the music itself. Like
just
I love
the
chimes and like all of the sounds of the music I love, but the singing bothers me. Yeah. So it's interesting.
You know what?
No, I don't.
That's racist.
Oh yeah. That's right. We're back to that.
I kid.
Well, everyone is a racist in their own way, unknowingly or otherwise. Right. Well,
that's why I wanted to start another podcast, because that's what we need. Oh, gosh. Another podcast called Accidentally Racist.
Oh, yeah.
Because I have to imagine that, like, half the shit that comes out of my mouth is just unintentionally. and that's the thing, is I admit I need to be educated on such things. Mm-hmm. You know, but a gentle hand is going to go a lot farther than someone just, you know, napalming me on Twitter.
Oh, my gosh.
Or on Facebook.
When I moved from Northern Idaho and Eastern Washington to San Diego, I was just a total accidental racist. I was not racist at all, but I said the dumbest shit. And one of the best examples of being a complete dumbass, I was working at the Hyatt, and one of the front desk guys, who is a black man, I was talking to him about something, and I said something about pickaninnies.
Oh, damn.
I know, right?
Goddamn woman.
And I don't know what the comment was, but to me, it seemed so innocuous. And he just kind of looked at me and he said, Jennifer, that's like really, I forget the word. I don't know if he said racist, but he said, you know, it's a really offensive, and however he worded it. And I was like, what do you mean? And he's like, do you even know what a pickaninny is? And I'm like, yeah, they're cute little black girls with their hair. And like, and to me, it's like that was the name of a little girl who did her hair in a certain style.
Right.
Made into dolls. And they're adorable. Right. And so I didn't understand. I'm culturally, I hadn't learned that. And he explained it to me. And I was like, oh, my God. I was like mortified. And then, you know, this happens to me.
Because that's one thing that Northern Idaho is known for, is racial sensitivity.
Totally, right? Everyone there is so sensitive, and they're really like all about human rights. Yeah, and listening to one another, not yelling. Anyway, you should definitely visit Northern Idaho, listener. Hey, you might be in Northern Idaho. We don't know. Yeah. So, and you know, most recently, I think the thing that surprised me is that when I would say, and I think we've talked about this on the podcast, is I would say, oh, I got gypped.
Oh, right.
And people are like, that's racist. I'm like, what are you talking about? That is not racist. And they're like, that's referring to gypsies. And I was like, oh, like I did not correlate the two.
Right.
Just like I used to say Jude down.
Oh, damn.
Right. Like exactly. It makes me cringe now. But like, I remember saying that when I was in my early 20s, didn't even think about it.
Right.
So now here's something interesting. When I moved to San Diego and I discovered, I don't know if our listener knows this, but when I graduated from high school, I didn't know how many continents there were. I talked about this recently on the podcast because I was pretty uneducated. I came from a school that just really had, scholastically, was very poor. It was just very low.
Right.
So I wasn't an idiot necessarily. I mean, I was ignorant.
Just uneducated.
But I was really uneducated because I just didn't know. And where I grew up next to an Indian reservation, and they were called Indians. And then I moved to San Diego and discovered, you know, India was a place where Indians, actual Indians, live. And I was like, wait a minute, why do we call them Indians here? And I was like, what is happening? Why do we do that? And, you know, the Native Americans became popular. And then me, the educated white person, started to call them Native Americans. And only recently have I discovered that they're like, you know, fuck that. And you explained this to me, but they either want to be referred to as Indians or Natives.
I don't know about Natives, but yes, Indians.
And according to a lot of the books I've been reading, like Tommy Orange, who's a phenomenal Native author who wrote There. And in the book, his characters talk about how offensive it is to be called Native American. And I was like, oh,
right.
They call themselves Indians. Right. Well, okay. So before you start, because I want you to, I was talking to my mom about this, like, I don't know, 10 years ago. And I said, Mom, you should never refer to them as Indians. Indians are from the country of India. And she just looked at me and she's like, Mom, she said, Jennifer, they call themselves Indians. Why shouldn't I? And I was like, oh, well. But so you told me recently that you read something about this. Why that is? Why it's okay for me to say it, you know, and for me to say I'm an Indian. If I were Indian, by the way, I'm not. But if I were, it's okay for me to say it, for me to adopt it, but it's not okay for you to say it. Like, is that the case?
That's not the case with Indian.
Okay.
As much as from what I was reading, it was like they preferred, and again, you know, using they like they're a monolith, right?
I know, right? It's awful.
They prefer to be called Indian as opposed to Native American because they, when the Spaniards came and thrust that name upon them,
right?
You know, the first conquering force labeled them Indians,
mm-hmm.
and they aren't, and they weren't from India, and it wasn't India, mm-hmm. and.
But that was the word they learned.
That was, yeah.
It had, they didn't have any, there was no meaning.
Right.
That
no,
came with
no
it.
No meaning for them.
For them.
But they saw it, or at least they see it now, as like that was one conquering force and they finally adopted it. And then to have a bunch of white people basically say, no, 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 that's racist.
Mm-hmm.
We're now going to call you Native Americans.
Yeah.
They're like, well, you know what? We're done with occupying forces, you know, with...
white people we're telling done. Us what we can call ourselves.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Which done, I get, which I totally get.
By other people.
Yeah.
So they're like, no, they just stick their flag in the ground and like, we're Indians, damn it.
Right.
We're yeah, natives.
I totally get that.
And I think Canadian, they call them what? First persons?
Oh, wow.
Or something like
Do they
that?
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. That's interesting. I hadn't heard that. The first persons.
Yeah. Well, that... What else you got?
Nothing.
You got nothing else on your paper?
Mm-mm.
Come on.
I'm lying.
I knew it.
If you could be any marsupial, what would it be?
Easy. Tassie tiger.
A Tassie tiger.
Tasmanian tiger.
Why?
Because, you know, we think they're extinct. We don't know for sure.
I think they might be. Although, what did you say that the last Tassie tiger was seen in the 30s, but they think maybe they spotted one recently?
Relatively recently, but you know, people are always saying that they've spotted one.
People do that, don't they?
Yeah. You know, it's like Bigfoot, only for Australians.
For marsupials.
Much smaller. And that's part of the problem, you know, they're the size of a medium-sized dog.
What is a medium-sized dog to you?
I don't know.
40 like pounds?
I don't know how to weigh them.
I don't either, I'm asking.
I would say, you know, like a, like smaller than, just slightly smaller than a German Shepherd.
Bigger than a toaster oven, smaller than a car?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, as far as marsupials go, I think they're...
That's a means by which to measure things, by the way. I don't know if you knew that, but that's like very common.
Well, that's like when you use your arm to measure length of
that's
things.
That's right. That's where I come from, like, Northern Idaho.
From my elbow to my tippy fingers.
Mm-hmm. Or my foot. I can use my foot for measuring rooms.
Well, I think that's part of the imperial system is literally a foot is... A foot.
A foot. But it's not my foot, so I'm not sure how accurate it is in terms of...
I think mine are pretty close.
To being an actual foot?
Yeah.
I think they are. We should measure them.
Which is just fucking ridiculous. Why not meters?
You're the king.
Meters are so goddamn easy.
Meters are easy.
I was promised the fucking metric system when I was a kid. Metric system, hoverboards, and jetpacks, and I have none.
I know, I'm so sorry.
None of the above. Hoverboards aren't actually hoverboards. Yep. Jetpacks. I've seen maybe a couple YouTube videos and they're just disastrous.
They are disastrous.
I mean, it doesn't even sound like
we were lied to as children.
Yeah, exactly. Between that and, you know, Columbus finding
America,
United States, and
there are lots of
Santa
lies
Claus
happened
and,
in our childhood. Oh yeah, that's true. Think of all the lies we were told in school.
Right.
Like everything, really.
Yeah, it's like the more I read, the more I realize, oh shit, that's a lie too.
Like, oh, well. Hopefully
the only people who weren't lying to you were the science teachers.
Oh yeah,
and the math teachers.
Mostly, it depends on where you grew up.
Well, yeah, that's a problem. Is that where I grew up? My my biology teacher,
right,
was a devout Christian
and evangelical.
prefaced the fucking section on Darwin with, well, we all know what I'm about to teach you isn't true.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And
he didn't get fired.
Had I known enough back then, I probably would have sued the school.
It was 80s, right? Yeah. Or
it was high school, so.
Yeah, it was in the 80s.
Yeah, it was late 80s.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And in grade school, there was a teacher who threw a fucking kid out of his desk.
Right. You told me about that.
It said that this kid was a bit of a hypochondriac, potentially, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he comes in with like a wheelchair with his foot you know, extended like you would in a wheelchair. And the guy just
picked him up,
fucking flipped out and threw him onto the floor.
Do you remember why he flipped out? And like, what did the kid do to make him mad?
I don't know.
Did he tell him to get up and he wouldn't do it or
something like that? It was a history class in eighth grade.
Wow. So he just like walks over, grabs the kid and throws him on the floor.
Yeah. I don't remember why, but I remember just the whole scene.
Right. So what happened?
He eventually got himself back into the chair and
left.
I don't remember that. I just remember the scene of him being thrown to the floor by the fucking teacher.
That's crazy.
Who was also the wrestling coach.
Right. Which so, almost makes more sense.
Yeah. It means, yeah, that guy's just a fucking douchebag. Always was a douchebag. And I can only imagine that he treated his kids at home the same.
Right.
I should have asked. I mean, I went to school with the kid.
Well, maybe you did. You just don't remember it.
Yeah.
Can we get back to your Tassie devil?
Right.
Or Tassie, what is it called?
The Tassie tiger.
Tassie tiger. Yeah.
Yeah.
So why would you be a Tassie tiger?
I don't know, because they, you know, they're out and hidden and you don't see them. And I'm a bit of a homebody.
Oh.
I don't like to go out into public.
So, okay. That's.
I think they're out there. I have faith.
All right, cool. So Chad's out in the wild, folks.
Are out there.
Right. Just like the Tassie tiger.
Yep. You can't see me. But I'm out there.
So marsupials are fascinating to me, like how many of them there are and that most of them are in Australia.
Right.
So let's list some. Do you have okay, so let's think about this for a minute. So we have the kangaroo, the opossum, which is North American, and then the possum, which is in Australia and other places, not in North America. But here it's the opossum, which most people say it wrong.
Right.
The wombat.
Ooh, I love wombats.
They're so cute. I really want one. I want to cuddle one, like a big cuddly bear. And
koalas. They're not bears.
Which hopefully will not be extinct due to the Australian fires. Super scary. It's fascinating.
For any of these animals, really.
I know, right? Like all these marsupials, which is why I'm talking about marsupials anyways. The fear that, you know, they might be extinct due to the fires. It's crazy.
Right.
What other
Tasmanian devils?
Tasmanian devils. That's right.
And long-nosed bandicoots.
Oh my God, they're so cute.
They just look like large rats.
They remind me of, shrews or whatever. Yeah. I can't think of any others off the top of my head. Oh.
Tasmanian devils.
You just said that.
Did I say that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was trying to decide if I were a marsupial, first I thought a Tasmanian devil, but that's really more the cartoon character than the actual Tasmanian devil, because I'm always moving so fast. But then I realized I'm actually a kangaroo. So I'm protective of my loved ones. And if you fuck with me, I might just rear back and kick you in the chest.
All right.
I'm fierce, I guess, is what I'm... When it comes to my loved ones, I'm protecting people I care about.
Right.
But otherwise, kind of, you know.
Me, I just like to hide and not be seen.
All right. So we're just weird.
Yep.
We're weird.
So right, that's the what animal would you be segment.
Yes. What animal would you be? Listener.
Yes, listener, tell us at...
But not any animal. Which marsupial would you be?
Oh, right.
At squawk what?
Squawk at marriedwithchickens.com. Oh, there's also the duck-billed platypus.
That's a marsupial?
Uh-huh.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, they're so
I think
cute.
It's a subclass of marsupials.
Hmm.
Like all in its lonesome because it's so bloody weird.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's got a pouch, it's got a bill, it's got a tail, and it has a poisonous hook on one of its rear feet.
Wow, just on one?
I think it's just one.
That's weird.
It might have to, I don't know if it's poisonous hook on both, but
why? I mean, so what do you mean by a poisonous hook? Is it like a talon or a fingernail or
toenail? And by poisonous, I guess I mean venomous.
Aha.
Let's get that right.
Yeah, let's get that right.
Yeah. So it's got a
Our science friends would not be happy.
Venomous hook on one of its feet.
I would love to have a venomous hook. Can you imagine? That'd be awesome. People mess with you and you're just all back off. No?
Yeah, I don't know. That sounds like a lawsuit waiting to happen.
It could go sideways real fast. Yeah. All right, never mind.
I mean, I could see how it could be handy, especially as a woman, you know, finding her way through this world. It'd be nice if the female of the species had a venomous hook.
That's true, yeah, since we don't have the typical weight and strength of the male. We could at least have a venomous hook if we needed to. But that could go sideways too, because some women can be pretty, well, you know, devious. So that can be real trouble. That could smell real trouble for the male species. I'm just saying. Maybe it's just, maybe we're just perfect the way we are.
Yeah, maybe so.
I've been trying to figure out what Muppet I would be. If I were any Muppet, which Muppet would I be? And I honestly can't think of it. I think I need to watch the Muppets to figure it out. I don't know.
Right.
Which Muppet are you, Chad?
Dr. Teeth.
Why?
I don't know. He's a musician. Bit of a band leader, you know. I don't know if I embody the qualities of Dr. Teeth, but
just like the music.
But I just like Dr. Teeth.
Yeah.
Of all the Muppets.
I like Dr. Teeth. I always feel like I'm one of the old dudes up in the section, like looking down and wreaking havoc.
Judging from
which I'm not a very judgmental person, but I like the idea of being one of those old men. I don't know. I'm going to have to really think about it.
I know.
It's homework for me.
We must ponder these tough questions.
I know, right? There's not enough time in the day to answer all these questions. So you had a new beer in the house. You didn't buy it. We should be clear on that. It was called 99.
Oh, geez.
IPA 99.
So it's
Archer, St. Archer.
St. Archer's like IPA 99 or something like that. It's a 99 calorie beer.
Which is fascinating to me. How many calories are typically in a beer, do you think? Like 400?
Well, certainly in the 20-ounce stouts that I drink.
The ones you drink, yeah.
But I don't know. It's probably 150, maybe 200. I don't know. I'm just completely
guessing.
That makes
sense, actually. That's probably more accurate. So how was it? How was the IPA?
It was the worst goddamn beer I've ever had in my life. And I only had like a tiny little sip. Because I wasn't going to drink it, because I'm not generally an IPA guy.
Right.
But I'm like, oh, well, that's weird. Mike doesn't like it. I'll try it. What the hell?
Right.
Like, before you pour it out.
Here, this is awful. Some. Have some. Yeah.
So I tried it, and it's, well, firstly, I'm not a huge IPA fan. I like some good IPAs.
Right.
But it's not where my palate is at this point in life. It used to be, not now. This one tasted like they took an IPA and then cut it in half with just water. Like, they just added water to it.
Ugh.
So it was so fucking bland.
So would you say it was fucking close to water?
Like making love in a canoe.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh.
It was awful.
So I want to talk about the packaging.
I would rather drink like Milwaukee's Best. Coors,
so
not garbage.
I actually like some of those lagers. Is that what they are? Like Budweiser?
I don't mind Budweiser. I like lagers too. If they're, you know, on a hot day, ice cold.
Super cold.
I mean, Tecate is a lager.
Mm-hmm.
It's delightful.
Miller Genuine Draft isn't so bad. Yeah. As long as it's not a light beer.
Gotta be ice cold.
And it's gotta be ice cold. Yeah, like same with Tecate, any Mexican beer.
A cooler that has ice in it.
Literally, yeah. Ice cold. Gotcha. Not just out of the refrigerator.
No, that doesn't cut it for me.
Well, and that's true. So typically, if we're going to drink that kind of a beer, we're out doing something active in nature. So we're out mountain biking or rock climbing, and we get back and we have a cooler full of ice that has beer. So it's literally ice cold.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's why it's so good, because you've been working hard and looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
So
you burned off all those calories, and you're like, I need those back in my system.
I need those calories back, like, as soon as possible. What do you got? So I've been sober, not sober. I've been sober. Yeah, that's true.
Right.
But it's not really the right word. But I haven't drank for 12 days, and I've I've been kind of excited about it.
Hooray. Mm-hmm.
I don't even really miss it. And last night we had friends over and I decided not. Well, I'm dry for January. In case you don't know, listener, that's the deal.
Right.
January's dry. Yeah, I'm kind of excited about it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Am I sleeping better? I am sleeping better, but that's just only the last 3 days. I don't know if it has anything to do with not drinking.
We're just going to go with that.
We're going to go with that. So, I wanted to ask you about the U.S. Postal Service and their flat rate designs.
Done with beer.
Oh, go on. Go on.
Well, I only say that because I know where you were going with
that St. Archer thing.
We never got there.
The design. I was going to talk about the design.
Yeah. So,
which is brilliant.
So the St. Archer design, St. Archer is a brewery that, in my experience and my palate, their beer is garbage.
Garbage.
There's not a one of them that is worth drinking that I've had. There might be.
That like other some, people like.
Yeah, there might be something in there that's like an IPA that's a gold medal winner or something.
Right.
I don't know. It's not my palate. But my view of that company has always been like, this company is built to be bought out.
Right. So someone created the company with the specific intention of being bought out and making money.
Right. Because it's like, it looks good.
Because it's so well done.
Beer is mediocre.
Yeah.
And...
because their packaging is spot on. It's beautiful.
Yeah it looks good. Mm-hmm. You know, it's got some thought to it. I mean, it's a super minimalist. Fine.
Well, it's professional.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like a high-end brand.
Right.
And sure enough, they were bought out by, I think, Miller.
Mm, interesting.
Like within a couple years of having existed.
So they didn't have to necessarily create good beer.
No, they just had to have a good brand.
A good brand. Yeah.
And then be distributed wherever. And they're like, oh, hey, we're on the radar of some big, one of the big brewers.
Well, and people do, you know, like, I mean, I buy wine based on whether or not I like the label.
Right.
So, I mean, that's just
like you can't
do
that
around here based on the cover.
You can't do that with beer because most beer packaging of like good beer is just complete fucking garbage.
It's terrible.
It's awful.
Yeah.
Green Flash, we were talking about it the other day.
Yeah.
There are, I think, three different iterations of their brand on the shelf right now.
Oh, and this like on the same shelf?
Yeah, like you go to the liquor store, you're like,
does that mean
their IPA,
the beer's been there a long time and it hasn't been bought?
No, it just means that
they still have the cans.
They still have the old
Okay. Yeah,
the old packaging.
Got it.
You know, the old six pack.
Mm-hmm. So they're until they run through
until their the company stock. Runs through their stock, they're sticking with the old one until.
But they're still redesigning.
Yeah.
And you'll
see like a couple of the brand new ones. Like, okay, finally
they have a good.
It's been a decade, and you guys finally have a decent looking six pack of bottles.
Well, but they have really good beer.
And they have some pretty good.
So
beers.
It just goes to show, like, one person starts it because they're super passionate about making great beer, but don't necessarily have a design sense or even a business sense to hire someone who has a design sense.
Right, or they try to do it on the cheap and they hire a friend.
Right.
Who designs, and then that design is stuck with them on all of their packaging for, you know, 5 years, and they're like, ugh.
But I wonder, so, you know, brand loyalty is a thing, so I wonder if even though the design is bad, if people who love Green Flash are attracted to that design because it is what they know. So I wonder if people get upset about the brand changes for a company like Green Flash, like they did with Coca-Cola.
I can't imagine, because I mean, with Coca-Cola, it was more than a design change. It was a recipe change.
Oh, that was a recipe change. You're right. Okay, well, how about the Chargers? So the Chargers were going to change their logo and people just flipped out. But now we're talking about sports, which is different than beer.
Yeah. Well, sort of, I guess.
But is it? Yeah. I mean, I wonder if people are like,
branding.
I love that brand, like Green Flash.
But the brand with beer is the flavor, I would think.
I would think too. But I also think it has to do with the merchandise. So being a Chargers fan or any kind of a sports fan means that you go out and you buy the hat and you buy the socks and you buy the jacket. You have the memorabilia. You know, you've got all the things that you bring to the game that identifies you as a fan. And that doesn't really happen with beer. With beer, it's like you drink the beer and then it's gone. But people aren't wearing all of the merchandise that go with it.
People who drink Stone do.
Well, that's true.
They've got all the fucking shirts, you know, they've got limited edition shirts and yeah. gargoyles. And
so I think if Stone,
not a fan of that brand,
but I think if Stone changed their brand, people would be pissed off.
Right. Because it's all about that goddamn gargoyle.
They've bought in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
They bought into the whole, you're not worthy, arrogant bastard thing, you know, fizzy yellow beers for pussies, I think is one of their
slogans.
Yeah. Never mind. Fizzy yellow beer is pretty good on a hot day.
If it's ice cold.
It's like they do fizzy yellow beers for pussies, and then they do, like, the company makes nothing but fucking IPAs right now. Mm. Like, that's the only thing you can get from them, except for maybe Choco Vesa, which is a decent stout. Mm-hmm. I had one last night. It was lovely.
Mm. Good to know.
You know, but they got rid of their the IRS, the Imperial Russian Stout. Mm. Like, that one's just no longer in their lineup, inexplicably. Just gone.
The IRS.
Yeah.
Yeah. That acronym's not the best.
I know.
Get me a six-pack of IRS, would you?
Ooh, geez. That'll rough you up.
Totally. No, thank you. I'll pass.
Yeah. So, you know, you think of other beer brands. Yeah, not so good.
Well,
As far as small breweries go around here.
But that's kind of cool. I mean, it just goes to show that maybe you should be looking for the shitty labels to get the best beer.
Or maybe they should just hire a fucking graphic designer. Well, they're so fucking flush with money.
Mm, but are they?
A lot of them are.
Because, I mean, if you're doing it because you're passionate about beer, you're probably making bad choices, business choices, and maybe you're not flush with money.
I don't know.
You don't necessarily...
Some of these places have like three breweries and a cannery and all sorts of... It's like...
What's the difference between a... Never mind. Let's move on. I just figured it out. That was a dumb question. Well, speaking of packaging, so what about the flat rate boxes for the U.S. Postal Service? Like, those are pretty well designed. They're pretty cool. We were talking about them today, which is the whole reason I brought this up, but...
Yeah. Yeah, I like it. I think it's... I think it's Gotham they're using for the font, but it's well laid out and you know,
simple.
It's red, white, and blue.
Yeah.
You know, so
easily identifiable.
Yeah, this is USPS, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, FedEx has kind of the same thing. UPS doesn't really, but.
I kind of prefer USPS to the FedEx, you know, just the boxes.
Right.
Like, they're cool. They're sleek. Speaking of the US Postal Service, just a side note. So maybe. I don't know, 8 years ago, do you remember when they did the stamps that were the Liberty, Statue of Liberty?
Oh, yeah.
So they always do like specialty stamps. So I have Willie Nelson stamps. You know, I've got Marvin Gaye stamps. So stamps of people I like, or I buy cool stamps.
Right.
And occasionally I'll
save
them.
Because you can. Why wouldn't you?
Because I like them. Yeah. I had a Johnny Cash stamp. All right. So they did a memorabilia Statue of Liberty, but. As it turns out, after they printed all of the stamps, the designer chose a Statue of Liberty image that was actually of the Statue of Liberty in Las Vegas.
Yeah, that's right.
It wasn't the actual Statue of Liberty.
Didn't it have like the wrong number of peaks on its crown or something?
Yeah, something like when you looked at it, if you knew what to look for, you're like, oh my God, that's not actually the Statue of Liberty. That's the fake one in Las Vegas, Nevada. So they had to recall all those stamps because they just didn't. They weren't paying attention in the design department.
And that's where stamps become valuable, is if someone hung on.
See, now I wish that I had a set, but I would never have bought Statue of Liberty stamps because I guess I'm more interested in Johnny Cash stamps.
Because you're a communist.
I am not a communist. You're a communist.
No, I'm a Marxist. There's a difference.
Oh, tell us. What's the difference between Marxism and... No? You don't want to go there?
Nope.
All right. Well, then tell us why you like the U.S. Postal Box flat rate boxes.
I don't know.
So you pointed out something to me that I thought was interesting. The Monopoly box.
Oh, right. It's like the board game box. They've got one that's specifically sized to accommodate like two board games in it.
So do all of them have like a little icon on that too?
I don't know.
I'd be curious.
I just put two and two together because the guy said, oh, it's over there by the Monopoly boxes.
Oh, that's interesting. And I'm going to have to look next time.
Monopoly box? What the fuck is that? And then I get over there. I'm like, oh, well, yeah.
Monopoly would totally fit
in there.
That's funny.
And then the other day when you pointed out the little like chess and checkers printing that was on the box.
Like game pieces. Yeah,
game pieces. I'm like, oh yeah, that's why they call it that. And it's actually intended for.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
I guess that's a gift you give people.
Probably.
Send it across country in the USPS Monopoly box.
Lots of people still play games. We don't play games. We never play games. I mean, literally, we don't play card games. But I love card games.
Ain't no one got time for that shit.
I have time. They're so fun. I love playing card games. I wish that you would play.
I don't know. We rocked Rummy Cube there for a while.
I know. For like 2 days, I convinced people. I love it when I like go on trips. And for example, I went home to visit my family and we were playing card games. And I came home and then I taught everyone how to play the card game. And then they left. And you're like, no, I don't play card games. And now I've forgotten how to play.
Well, yeah, I'm not so big into card games, and typically I just use them as targets to shoot my arrows at.
Card games? Oh, cards. Yeah.
So then you get the deck of cards, and you're like...
And you're like missing...
You know, you got 50 cards in it.
Yeah, that's not cool.
You can't play any of the card games you want.
That ain't cool. That's true.
Sorry.
But I have another deck of cards that I believe is a full set, so maybe you'll... Maybe
I won't shoot them.
Maybe not.
That's about all I can guarantee is that I won't shoot them.
Well, that's nice of you, but you don't guarantee that you'll play any games with me.
No.
Which is, you know, in a marriage, I think it's probably a positive thing that we don't play games with each other.
Probably.
I should stop complaining.
Yeah.
I should just be grateful.
Be grateful. We should all just be grateful.
That's true.
We're alive. We've got our health for now.
I'm very grateful.
I've got a cat
on my lap. I'm warm for the first time in hours. I've been cold. I think my thermostat's broken.
Yeah.
I'm either hot or cold. I don't seem to have an in-between temperature.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
Yeah, it's a real bummer. My hands are cold. My feet are cold.
The sweats are awful.
The sweats are awful. Perimenopause, babies. It ain't fun. You don't have to deal with that.
Nope. I mean, I hear about menopause, but I don't know if that's actually
a thing.
I'm not
really sure what that means, yeah.
I think it's just like...
Having to deal with women in their perimenopause or menopause?
I guess. I don't know.
Because that's a thing. Well, so did we have any eggs today?
No eggs. None. Zero.
But we had one yesterday.
One yesterday.
And you got an egg the day before, I think, that actually cracked. They're still super thin.
I ate it, though.
Oh, good. Good.
I ate it yesterday, I think.
So today I came around the corner down below, pulled in behind the house, and got out of the car. And the chickens were like kind of off in the distance, and they saw me, and they just came running. It was so cute. They waddle. They almost fly run.
Right.
They're like, hello, give us a treat.
And so you did.
I did. That's why they do it. I've trained them well. But they were like literally going to follow me up to the house. I'm like, okay, girls, you can't follow me. You have to stay down here. Where there's good things to eat. But anyway, so...
They did that to me the other day, but then I fired up the motorcycle and it scared the hell out of them.
Oh, I bet.
And then they all took off.
Took off running, screaming, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. Yeah. The sky is always falling for them. So they hang out under the tree, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Hiding from the hawks, as it were. Various predators. Luckily, we haven't had any issues.
No German Shepherd instances.
We've had a couple sightings up on the road, but he hasn't come down the driveway, so that's been good. Yeah,
big,
so we're letting him.
Doo-doo's left alongside the road.
It's just messed up. That's just not okay.
Yeah.
Fuck those people. Pick up your dog's poop, please.
Seriously.
It ain't that hard. Well, that's why they let him roam.
Yeah, it's because the kid doesn't want to clean up.
He doesn't want to clean it up. Yep. So he just lets him roam, and if he doesn't see it, out of sight, out of mind.
Yep. So or even if he sees it.
Yeah, you're right.
He's like, yeah, I'm not doing that.
So, yeah, so consequently there's...
So I'm going to go out there, I'm going to buy myself a pooper scooper on Amazon and start collecting it.
leave it on their doorstep. I knew you were going to go there. Do you remember when we lived in Kensington and Marie was in the house behind us and she had a rabbit? And for whatever reason, I don't know what happened. Was it a rabbit? No, it was a. She had a.
A guinea pig.
A guinea pig, of course. She had a guinea pig, and somehow the guinea pig poop got out of a trash can. Anyway, she found it on her doorstep. Someone had collected it all and left it on her doorstep. Just a big old pile of, and I don't know how that happened. Because
how would it get out of the little cage?
You know what it was? I know what it was.
The box top.
Someone put poop on her doorstep, but it wasn't from her pet.
Oh, okay.
That's what it was. Because they knew that she had a guinea pig, so they assumed, and I think it actually was either dog poop or maybe it was rabbit poops, but... Yeah, I remember Marie was so upset. She was like, why would someone do this to me? But this person was doing exactly what you were just thinking. This is your animal's poop. You should deal with it. I'm going to leave it on your doorstep. I would never think to do that, by the way. That's terrible. I'd rather I don't know, throw it away. Crazy. But it's just when I go on my walks, so right. Few people actually pick up their dog poop. So that, and when we were in New York, in the streets of New York, dog poop everywhere in certain neighborhoods.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe it's cultural there. Here it's lazy.
Yeah.
Straight up. Anyway.
Lazy bastards.
Mm-hmm. So the chickens are alive. Life is good. Jennifer is sober. What the fuck?
Seriously.
Yeah. I can't complain. Tomorrow is the beginning of a new day. We will move forward with intention. I'm not really sure what that intention is yet.
Yeah, I was just going to ask.
What is the intention?
Is this something that you've discussed with yourself in your meditation?
Probably. I will honor myself and those around me.
Whatever that means.
Well, thanks for this contentious and awkward conversation. It's been lovely.
Oh, okay. You're wrapping up?
I was. Do you have something else you want to talk about?
Well, I have my dream.
You have a dream? Oh, yeah, I do want to hear about your dream. Tell me about your dream.
Okay. So, this was my dream last night. I was playing I was like in a studio, like a music studio setting,
mm-hmm.
playing a Fender Jazzmaster.
Okay.
Which would make sense if you knew what the Jazzmaster was and compared it to the guitars that are in our living room right now.
Mm-hmm. What color was it?
I think it was Sunburst.
Okay, cool. Pretty.
But I could be wrong though. I was in such a, you know, that weird state between wake and dream.
In dream state. Okay. So what was happening in the dream?
So yeah, I was having troubles apparently writing a song. So I went, like I called someone and I bought songs, like I exchanged money for songs in like a parking garage. So it was like I was buying
like a drug deal, like I was going
buying
down
weed,
yeah,
from someone in a parking garage.
I gotta have the songs, you see, I gotta have them.
And I paid for the sheet music through Venmo.
Wow, that's very specific.
Well, because, yeah, I know, right? But you think about it, it's like all these weird things that I've been... So, of course, it was a Jazzmaster, because it's similar to the guitars that are in the living room right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it was Venmo, because I've been using it
mm-hmm.
lately. And then, for whatever reason, when I played the song, it sounded like The Descent by Bob Mould.
Wow. So you actually got the sheet music, got home, and then played it.
Went back into the studio uh-huh. and played it. Or I didn't actually play it. I was just reading it.
Okay.
And you could
hear it in your head.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm reading it, and I'm walking back to the studio from this parking garage. And I walk in, and I mean, the whole thing was kind of... I was sad, like in the dream, that my life had just been trying to write a song and come up with enough money to afford doctor visits to take care of my neck thing that I've been having lately with the
swollen glands.
Yeah, with the swollen glands in my neck. So I was super sad because I was trying to figure out how in the hell I'm going to pay for these doctor visits by writing writing pop music.
Wow. And then you got a Bob Mould song out of
it. And then I got a Bob Mould song, which already exists out of it. And yeah, so I went back into this building, which had then ceased to be a music studio.
After you went back in.
Yeah, so I went back
in. Transformed
it
transformed into
kinda, like a... It just transformed into... It was like an office, like just an open office sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was all very white, you know, very clean and sterile and modern.
Mm-hmm.
And often every...
So it was like a doctor's office.
Well, sort of, but it was just like an open office kind of... like a business office, okay, sort of thing. Bunch of computers around. There was like, there'd be like, over here you'd have like the. It was basically just a bunch of NGOs, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you've got like USAID. You've got all these organizations, not USAID, but UNICEF and all these organizations that help people around the world.
Wow.
And. Yeah, I don't know. I just felt sad that my life was what it was.
Aww.
And yeah. So that was my dream this morning.
So how did it end?
The cat meowed at me and I woke up.
So you were just standing around looking at all these businesses? I was just
standing around looking at all these nonprofits helping children, you know. So there's like a bunch of kids running around.
Wow.
This office park.
So what does it mean?
What's the dream mean? It doesn't mean anything. It's just...
Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and analyze it.
All right, of course.
So you've been writing a lot of music lately.
Right.
And apparently you've been struggling to write songs that you think are good.
Right, well...
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, they're not. So
okay,
that.
So that's true. And then so it's manifested in your dream that you're not good enough to write songs, so you have to go out and buy a song. And then the song you buy already exists.
Because in the dream, they all exist already, right?
In the dream, did the song already exist and you realized that? Or was it like a really good song? Or were you like, oh my God, this song already exists?
Yeah, I don't remember that.
Hmm.
Like which it was.
It just was.
Yeah.
Well, and you're always saying that like everything's already been done. So like it's hard to be a creative and come up with something new. So that's probably that.
Right.
And then the doctor's thing, I didn't realize that you were actually
the lymph nodes.
Yeah, your lymph nodes, that's right.
Yeah.
So that's been bothering you a lot.
It's not really been bothering me. It's just like, oh, it just is. There's a thing.
Yeah.
There's a thing that I'm reminded of every time I swallow.
Wow.
And every time, you know, I'm sitting around and I have like my salivary glands are a little bit more active than they would normally be.
It's super frustrating when there's something wrong with you and you go to the doctor and they're either dismissive or they just don't know. And I would say, unless I have the flu... You know, strep throat, like very right. obvious things. That is what happens. You know, I go to the doctor and they're like, oh, well, I don't know. I remember when I had irritable bowel syndrome, maybe when I was in my 20s, and no one could help me. Every doctor is like, oh, there's nothing wrong. Oh, you're fine. Didn't find anything. But there was something very seriously wrong with me and I was in a lot of pain and right. no one would acknowledge that. And it was just so frustrating. And I finally found a doctor who sat down. And I'll never forget it. I think it was 19 at the time. And instead of having me like strip down into a fucking embarrassing clothes in the back outfit or clothes right. in the front, depending, and having you sit on this big table with this metal stirrup things on them, you know, those things are just so clinical and uncomfortable. She said, have a seat in the chair. And she like jumped up there and she had on running shoes and she was swinging her feet back and forth. And she said, so tell me about yourself. And I was just like, whoa, what? Wait, what? And we literally had a conversation about who I
You're
was.
Not going to look at my undercarriage?
Yeah, it was so like, wow, you want to know who I am as a person? And at the end of it, she's like, yeah, you have irritable bowel syndrome. It's probably something you're eating. And let's like talk about like how we can identify that. And it was just like shocking to me that she cared enough to have a conversation and help me figure out what it was. And that was the only doctor I've ever had who did that.
Right.
And then recently I was at my chiropractor and I said, yeah, lately when I, you know, when I sit cross-legged on the floor, the inside of my right knee hurts. And he's like, yeah, you probably shouldn't do that. And I was like, yeah, it's like that joke. Well, don't, it hurts when I do this, doctor. Well, don't do that. And I was like, well, I should be able to sit cross-legged. And he's like, no, that's terrible for you. It's a terrible thing to do. You should never, shouldn't sit cross-legged on the floor. I'm like, well, how am I supposed to do yoga? And he's like, well, I don't remember what his answer was to that. But he literally was like, told me not to sit cross-legged anymore. And I'm like, bullshit. Like, that's not okay. The human body should be allowed to sit cross-legged without having pain. There's clearly something going on. Let's identify it and fix the problem, as opposed to just not sitting cross-legged ever again. Like,
and then have everything tighten up because you're not stretching it.
And exactly. And then you go to the doctor and he's like, oh, get some Flonase. Maybe you have allergies. But first he says, do you have allergies? And you say, no.
I've never had allergies in my life.
And then he says, well, you should go get this Flonase for allergies. And you're like, oh.
So I'm like, fine, I'll get the fucking Flonase and see if that takes care of anything. Been using it for a week now, nothing.
Have you used it consistently?
Yeah.
And it hasn't done a shit.
Two squirts each nostril.
And it doesn't dry you out or anything?
Well, I have like overactive salivary glands, so that's happening.
Which is probably why you have the swollen lymph nodes, right? Or is that the...
No, I think that the swollen begat the salivary thing.
Well, I'm sorry that's happening to you. But... So then you
fuck
find
yourself getting older shit.
Right. But the dream makes sense to me. It all makes sense. Except for the children being saved. Except that makes sense too, because like our planet is fucking on fire.
Right.
Right? So it's like, ah!
So it's all these things and yeah, and just...
Yeah. I just think it's fascinating how our stresses and, you know, things that the weight of our day manifests itself in such weird ways in our dreams. And typically you can identify and pinpoint why you had that part of the dream and what it means. It doesn't mean anything, but you can figure out where it came from based on, you know, it's what's like happening in your in brain.
This. I've been living with this shit for however long, and it's manifesting itself in my unconscious.
Totally. Yeah, it's cool. The brain's cool. Neuroscience is cool.
Yeah.
I dig it. Well, again, this has been fabulous. I would say half fabulous, half not fabulous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
So with that, good night.
Good night. Good night, Mishka.
Good night, Mishka. She's ignoring us.